Class night. That's what I went to. Come out of class night last night. I was limping and running to Brother Ronnie Scott and his dad-in-law, and they both was going down the stairs, and they both had a hold of them arms walking down. They was limping. I was in the middle limping. I said, I must be part of the old man class now, I reckon. And Brandy said, well, you better catch another gear. You got another one coming up. So he said, you better catch another gear. So thank God there's another gear to catch. Amen? Yeah. All right. Let's get into the study this morning, the Bible study. Enjoyed reading this week and studying from the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 6 here in just a moment. And I've enjoyed this week as I studied it. And it's going to be more of a study, I pray, than a preaching. And this is what God has shared with me this week as I read this. If we, now I want you to get this morning. Don't make sure we understand this together. If we are going to talk it, we better walk it. If we are going to say that we're a Christian, we better walk it. This morning, the illustration with the lunch, with the toolbox this morning was amazing. They pulled out all kind of stuff. And, you know, I can have a hammer, and that don't mean I'm a carpenter. I can own a saw, and don't mean that I know how to run it. I can own a mechanic shop, and that don't mean I'm a mechanic. You see what I'm saying? Just because the building. I can come to this church, but that don't mean that I'm a born-again child of God. What means that is who lives inside of me, which is Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, this morning. And I studied this week. John comes here, and he said, if we're going to talk it, we better walk it. Because you walk and you talk and you talk and you walk, they got to match up. They won't go. They got to go together. If not, they contradict one another, and it's not real in what God has done in our life. If we're going to talk it, we better walk it. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 6, and the Bible says, and you're going to understand why I wrote, if we. And John says in verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Who? We make God a liar. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Father, I love You and I thank You. I thank You for the sweet Holy Spirit this morning that's in this place. Father, right now I feel in my spirit there's a calm over this place. Father, I speak the word of Jesus this morning. Father, I speak it this morning boldly. I speak it bravely. I speak it because it's been penned in the word of God in Your book this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that You'd drop that gospel plow and You start plowing hearts. You'd plow my heart this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit, it'd plow something up this morning that's been hid deep in our hearts this morning. Lord God, I pray it'd plow it up and it'd get it out, Father. Lord, I pray this morning not only that gospel plow, will it plow and it'll dig, but Father, we know this morning that it'll fertilize, Lord God, and it'll bring a hold of what needs to be brought a hold of. Lord, this morning, if it's me or whoever else that is in this building that my talk does not match my walk, I pray this morning I get under Holy Ghost conviction. Lord God, I pray they get under Holy Ghost conviction. Lord, I didn't just want to come to church. Lord God, I could have that at home. Lord, I've come to get in where the spout is. I've come to get into the spout where the glory runs out. Father, You said where two or three are gathered together, You'd be in the midst. And Father God, I can't get that setting at home. Hey, but I can get it in Your house this morning. And Lord, I pray this morning that we get in line with Your word. And Lord God, You'd make Yourself known in this place like never before. Father, I thank You for the written word. I thank You this morning that it is what plows our life this morning. And Lord, this morning I pray that You have Your will and way. Father, I love You and I thank You. I ask it all in Your Son Jesus' most holy, precious, sweet name. This morning I ask in Jesus' holy name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated. If we are going to talk it, We better walk it. This morning, I want to share this with you. John the disciple. Get this morning. John the disciple that Jesus said in John 21, 20, that he was the disciple that was that loved the Lord. The Lord loved John. John 21, 20, and said it was the disciple that the Lord loved. Not only was he the disciple that the Lord loved, he was the disciple that was in the Spirit on the Lord's day according to the book of Revelation. This morning, he comes with a bold statement to all that is in attendance. And here's what he said. Under the authority of the Holy Spirit, he said, if we, you know, this morning he said, if we are going to talk it, we better walk it. And this morning I want to look at how he addresses this matter in a correct way. This morning, John, when he comes here, he directs this matter. He addresses it in a correct way. Have you ever had somebody address you? There was something going on in your life and they addressed you in the wrong way. You know how you took that when they don't address it in the right way? Hey, you get offended by it. You turn them off and you close your ears. You close your heart. You close your mind. You close anything about you that would listen to that individual. Well, this morning, I didn't say that you needed to change your way. I didn't say that you needed to. Whoa, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, John said, I'm not coming that way. I'm coming with this morning. If we, he said, put me in there with you this morning. He said, if we. And this morning I want to show you how he addressed that to the people that were there. Number one, he confronted the people. Look what he says. He said, if we say. This morning he said, if we say. He confronted the people. He didn't single no one out. Not one person did John single out. He said this. He said, if we say. He said, if it's in our conversation, if we saying one thing and doing another, we're nothing but a bunch of liars and the truth ain't in us. And this morning, I don't know about you, but I know in my life. Hey, if a man's going to call me a liar, he better put himself in there with me. Can I get a witness this morning? And John said, if we, he said, I come here this morning not to preach at you, but to preach at myself too. He said, if we say one thing and do another, the truth is not in us. The word of God is not in us. So we see that he confronts the people. He didn't single no one out, but also he didn't leave nobody out. He covered it all the way through. I want you to get this. From verse number 6 to verse number 10, he used the word we 11 times. 11 times he brought out the word we. Friends, this morning I want you to know a Christianity that you and I live, we are in it together. This morning they brought that the body of Christ, there's different areas in the body of Christ, but we're all together. We're all got the same Father. If you've been born again this morning, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I got good news this morning. This word, it will confront you. And you say, preacher, how will the word of God confront me? Number one, it'll confront you correctly. It'll never confront you in an incorrect way. But it'll confront you correctly. Here when John said, if we say one thing and do another, it is wrong. Do you remember in John chapter number 8, they had found that woman and she was in the act of adultery. And you know what Jesus said there? He said, ye without sin, cast the first stone. Oh, John had done pinned it down in the gospel. And here when he come to the epistle, here's what he said. He said, I want you to know this morning, hey, that there may be sin in my life and there may be sin in your life. Hey, but we got an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. Christ the Lord. He said he correctly addresses what's going on in our life. Look what he says. He confronts it correctly. He said, if they're ye without sin, cast the first stone. And you know what happened? It said that it seared their conscience. And every one of them men had to come before Jesus. They started dropping the stones and they started walking away. Why? Because this morning I have no authority and you don't neither to judge another man. I'm not your judge, but I do have a judge this morning and his name is Jesus Christ. This morning, I want you to know, he confronted them correctly. He said he knew what he had read in John when he said that about the adulterous woman. You know the problem with that story is he brought that woman out. Hey, but where was the man at? Can I get a witness this morning? I want you to know if she was in the act of adultery, she wasn't alone. There was somebody else with her. This morning, I want you to know that the Word of God, it will confront a person and it will confront them correctly this morning. I see in the text this morning, not only will he confronts them correctly, he says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him. He said that if we have fellowship with him, he confronts them correctly, but he confronts them courageously. Not only the correction that he gave was correct, It was correct in what he said, but it was courageous in the way that he brought it. Look what he says here, if you would be. If we, you or me, he said, I didn't leave nobody out. He said, if you or if me, friends, this morning, I've got good news this morning that Jesus Christ, when he comes into your life and he starts living in there, that man that says that he has fellowship with God and he walks in darkness, it will not work. If you've been born again, you can't walk in the darkness because the light has shined in your life. Man, that light just comes on the inside. He not only confronts it correctly, but he confronts it courageously. If we, you or me, are not talking and walking the same, look what he says in verse number 6, and here's what John said. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He said, if we walk in this light as he is in the light, we have fellowship in verse number 7. This morning, I want to ask you a question. How is your fellowship with God? How is my fellowship with God? He says this morning, if we're going to talk it, we better walk it. Number one, he confronts the people. But let me show you the second thing I've seen in the text. Not only does he confront the people, including himself, but he calls out the problem. Not only does he confront it, but he calls out the problem. And there's three areas here that he calls this problem out, that these are supposed to be believers when he come here, and he wrote this down. And they're supposed to be believers, and there's three areas in their life that's not lining up with the Word of God. You know what the world don't need? They don't need more darkness. They need more light. Amen? They need you and I to be the light that God has called us to be. He said, if I live in you, you are the light of the world. We must not walk in darkness, but we must walk in light. This morning, I must walk in the light of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even though my walk may not be up to your standard, it may not be up to your part, I must walk in the light of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, number one, he confronts the people, but number two, he calls out the problem. I want to show you three areas that he called out that problem in the Word of God. I want you to understand this morning. He said, if we, I thank God that when John wrote this, he just didn't point a finger, but he said, if we, when he was pointing one at them, he was pointing four back at himself. He said, if we, friends, this morning, if I don't walk the way I should walk, don't you let me slide. You call me out. You point it out. You tell me, preacher, you get back in line. You line up with the Word of God. Get where you need to be. Amen. Man, I'm telling you this morning, he says not only does he confront it, but he calls it out. Look what he says here. Number one, he said, by walking in darkness. Look what he says. He says this morning, he calls out the problem. Number one, that believers are walking in darkness. He says it won't work. If you're born again and you're walking in darkness, you're miserable. You're the most miserable person alive if you're walking in darkness and you have tasted that wonderful light. Look what he says. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, in verse number 6, turn with me if you will. And walking in darkness this morning, I'll give you this. That's fake fellowship. Walking in darkness is fake fellowship. You're faking yourself. You're fooling yourself that you have a relationship with Christ Jesus. He said, if you're walking in darkness and you think that you have fellowship with the Father, you have faked yourself and you fooled yourself. If you think that you can walk in darkness and do as the world does, you're faking and you're fooling yourself. You're not lined up with the Word of God, and I'm not lined up with the Word of God. He says this morning, if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, I want to look at verse number 14 this morning. He says he calls out the problem, and that is this, by walking in darkness, by walking in the darkness of this world. Friends, this morning, can I tell you this? As a born-again believer, you have no business of mingling with the world. You have no business of mingling with lost folks. You have no business of running with lost folks. Hey, I want you to know it's okay to work with them. It's okay to talk with them. It's okay to be around them. It's okay to witness to them, but I must not do what they do because I've been bought with a price. I've been singled out, not by myself, but by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to get that this morning. He said, don't walk in darkness as the world does. Be called out. Be singled out. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Here's what he said. He said, be ye not unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked. Do you know that if you're born again and you marry somebody that's not born again, you're unequally yoked and it won't work. There's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be things that go on that won't work. I want you to know this morning, but what some great harmony it is when two believers join in marriage. Man, it's a great thing. Hey, they get along. Can I get a witness? He says this morning, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He said, don't mess with unbelievers. Don't get in that relationship. Don't get in that covenant because you've been bought with a price. Man, he said this morning, he confronts the people, but he calls out the problem. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had the righteous with the unrighteous? What fellowship does a righteous man have with the unrighteous man? You know, when I got saved, I'll give you this. My old buddies I used to have, we don't hang around together no more. We don't hang around together no more. Oh, let me just go a little different. We don't hang around together no more. All right, we don't have the same things in common. They want to do their thing, and I want to do what God's called me to do, and we're unequally, we can't yoke together. We can't get along with one another. And it ain't that I'm judging them, and it ain't that they're judging me, but we just can't run the same race in the same way. A lost man and a saved man, they can't run together. Now, they can get along, but there's going to come a time you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. I had to choose who was I going to serve. Was I going to serve my buddies and my friends and do what they did, or was I going to serve the one that washed me in the blood of Jesus Christ? It's Jesus Christ himself. And I had to make that choice in my life. Not only did he confront the people, but he called out the problem. He said this morning, do not walk in darkness. You know what I did when I got saved? Man, I want you to know. You say no temptation ever come your way. I had more meth come my way after I got saved than I ever did before I got saved. Friends, this morning what I'm trying to tell you is when you get born again and you start walking with Jesus, there's things going to come your way. You're going to have to choose to either walk in darkness or walk in the light. And I want you to know, people know when you're a hypocrite. They know when you say, I love Jesus, yes I do, and then you're over here doing the same thing. You're meddling and peddling with the same thing they're doing. You know what the greatest, the worstest, the greatest, whatever you want to call it, the greatest mess up of a Christian is, the worst mess up is when you're trying to witness somebody to Jesus and you fall in the same trap they're in. Oh, you don't need to do that. The next week you're right there with them. You're right there with them hand in hand. You know what, though? You know what people are looking at? Is that man that says, hey, I will not do that. I know I learned a little word in my life called no. I will not walk in that darkness. I will not partake of them things. I've been bought with a price. When you understand that Jesus has been hung to a cross, he's been beaten, he bled for you, he died for you. You say, I can't do them things. I must walk a different way, and I must not walk in the darkness. I must walk in the light. Friends, I want you to know this morning. I lost a lot of friends, and if you've been born again, and you be honest this morning, you lost a lot of friends, or you've done already got where they are and you're doing the same things they did. This morning what I'm trying to tell you is John said, boys, I want you to know I'm not who I used to be. I've been bought with a price, and if I'm going to talk the talk, I must walk the walk. Amen. Man, last night we was at the graduation, Lord Dale Fame, and I was squalling like a baby. Man, my baby graduated. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And man, the lights was off and it was dark. It was dark with the lights off and I was squalling, JD. Brother JD, I don't want to call you JD. I want to honor you. Brother JD. And I was squalling. And as soon as they popped them lights on, I started doing this. Why? Because when the light come on, I didn't want nobody to see what was going on in the darkness. Huh? Think about this morning. When the light comes on in your life, no longer you're in that darkness, but you're in that light. And you don't want people to see. You don't want people to see that in your life. And he says this in 2 Corinthians. Look here, as we look in the book in chapter number 6, what he said. He said, come ye out from among them. Don't be with them. Look what he says. And what concord, in verse 15, hath Christ with Baal? He said, he is a false god. He's not real. So what does Christ have to do? He'd have nothing to do with him. Amen. He destroyed him on Mount Carmel. Elijah called fire down. He was worshiping Baal. And you know what happened? The true God showed up. Amen. Hey, he licked it up. Hey, he destroyed that altar. And this morning, whatever your altar is this morning, if it's not Jesus Christ, you can come to this altar and he will destroy that false god that's in your life and get you out of darkness and put you into the marvelous light. Whoa, glory. He said, he don't have no part with that. What hath the part with a believer, with an infidel? What does a believer and infidel got together? They ain't got nothing together. Man that believes Jesus Christ and a man don't believe in God, they ain't got nothing in common. They ain't got nothing in common. Look what he says in verse number 16. And hath agreement had the temple of God with idols, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Man, I will dwell in you and I will walk in you. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them. Man, I couldn't do what I used to. You know what? If I was still doing what I used to do, I would not be the pastor of this church. Deacons. Man, we got deacons in here, amen? If I was still doing what I used to do when I got saved, before I got saved, would I still be the pastor? Brother Les, would I still be the pastor? If I was still out drugging and drinking and partying and living it up, having a life, I'm talking about a hate, would I still be the pastor? What would you do? You'd have to go. Brother Eric, what would you do? You gotta go. Brother Brent, what would you do? You gotta go. Brother Kevin, what would you do? You gotta go. Why? Because I've said there's been a change, there's been a difference, and I can't do them things no more. It's not of me, it's not in me, and it has to be gone. That darkness has to flee. What I'm trying to tell you is get out of darkness, get into the marvelous light. You see, that's the difference in our life. You say, preacher, yeah, he just did that for me. No, he did it for everybody that's born again. He's no respecter of persons. When he saves you, he seals you and he cleans you. This morning, let me give you this. Man, it's all over me. I get told I'm getting out of darkness. I know what it is to live in darkness. He says to walk, look here, he said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Don't touch that stuff, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. He says, number one, when he calls out the problem, number one, they was walking in darkness. And John said, I got to address it. You got to get out of that dark stage. You got to get out of that darkness. You got to get into the light. But number two, I want to show you this, what he says in verse number eight. He said, not only the darkness. This morning, if we're going to talk it, we better walk it. If you're going to talk it, you better walk it. Your talk's useless if you ain't backing it up where you walk. It's useless. I've heard people say all the time, have you ever heard somebody say, man, I can fix your truck, I can fix your car? Can you really? I didn't know you was a mechanic. Oh, yeah, I got it. Or I'm a carpenter. I can build that for you. And you said, I didn't know you was a carpenter. Oh, yeah. And they come and they do an awful mess. And you're like, I thought you said, you see what happened? Their talk and their walk didn't match up. You understand what I'm saying? When your talk and your walk matches up, it gives you integrity. This morning, if your walk and your talk, if my walk and my talk don't match up, number one, I'm either in darkness or I'm in deception. I've been deceived. Look what he says. If you will with me, in verse number eight, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I've always wondered this in my life after God saved me. I can know when darkness is coming, and you can too. You feel it when it's coming on you. You feel it when it's coming around. But there's something else I've learned. I can tell when deception's in and when it's not. I can tell when somebody walks up to me if they're looking to deceive me or if they're looking to tell me the truth. You know what people want this morning from every person that's a child of God? They don't want us to deceive them. They want us to tell them the truth and tell them that I want you to know that my walk and my talk, they line up. And they're in agreement with one another. This morning he said that we walk in the deception. Let me give you two verses that talks about deception. Walking in deception. He said if we say, that's including me, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Walking in darkness and walking in deception. Jot this down. You'll want to read this when you get home. Proverbs 30:20, the Bible says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness. I've done no wickedness. That's deception. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end, therefore, are the ways of death. There's a way that seemeth right. You know well as I do. There's a way I used to do things. I thought it was right. I thought if you wronged me, it was right for me to wrong you right back. But then I got reading the book. Have you ever been there? I thought, hey, if they can do it, I can do it too. Hey, if they can do it and get by with it, I can too. Just because somebody's doing it, you don't know if they're getting away with it or if they're getting by with it. You ever looked at somebody and said, man, they got it made. You don't know if they got it made or not. Oh, John said, here, all I know is this. That if you're walking in darkness and you're walking in deception, you need to get out of it. Because it won't be long. The third thing is, you will dishonor God. You will dishonor God. I've told this many a times, and my wife knows this. And when I got saved and gave my life to Jesus Christ, you see, he knocked on my heart's door, but he's a gentleman. He can't save nobody that won't open. Don't you believe a religion tell you he won't? He won't. When he knocks on that heart's door, just like he is on somebody this morning, maybe not for salvation, but maybe for service or fellowship. He said, you come out of that darkness and you come out of that deception. You come out from among that and be ye separate. You come out from among that. Because he said, if you don't, in verse number 10, you're going to dishonor God. If you say that, and I say that I'm born again, I must not be in darkness. I must not be in the deception because it won't be long I'll dishonor God. He said that if we say we have no sin in verse number 10, he said we make him a liar. Who is that? We make God a liar. You know what the Bible says in Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all. He said if we say that we haven't, we make him a liar. Romans 3:10, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says this, there's none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. I want to share the last thing with you this morning for whoever it is for. I'll never forget when I got saved. I thought I had one problem. But when I got born again, I realized I had a major problem. And it wasn't drugs. And it wasn't drinking. And it wasn't lying. And it wasn't stealing. And it wasn't being all these things. When I got saved, I realized I had a sin problem. And what separated me from God was the sin of my life. And when He saved me, that old nitpicker started plundering in my life. And He brought me out of that darkness. And He brought me out of that deception. I say that to say this. I'll never forget. I walked into a store there in the town we live in. And when I walked in, this older gentleman sitting behind the counter running the cash register. And I told him when I walked up to him, I said, "Man, I got saved last night in revival. I got saved." He said, "No, you didn't." "Man, He's God. Man, I know He wasn't in the congregation." I said, "What?" He said, "You didn't get saved last night." I said, "Okay. What do you mean?" He said, I remember when, a long time ago. When you was a little bitty boy." Deception. I was walking in darkness, dragging that darkness with me. That night that I got in that altar, I want you to know I had dishonored God. I was walking in darkness and I had deception all over my life. But when I come up from that altar, I finally, truly, first time in my life ever repented and asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and save me. You know what He did that night? The Bible says He's faithful and He's just. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that God's fair. There's nothing fair about God. He got no fairness in Him. He got no fairness in Him. If He was fair, we'd all go to hell. He's not fair. Fair sends me to hell, right? Fair sends you to hell. Fair sends we to hell. Fair does. Because we're the sinner. He's not. He's not fair. He's just. The Bible says here, if you look in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. So not only did I see when John come there, he said, if we're going to walk it, we better talk it. Number one, he confronted everybody, including himself. Number two, he called out the darkness. Not only did he call out the problems with darkness, right, with deception, and how they dishonor God, say, "Hey, He lives in me, but the truth ain't in me." But he says there's something else he did. He challenged everyone under his sound of his voice to confess their sin. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life I know when I need to confess, and man, I hide it. Oh, my goodness. We're good at hiding, ain't we? But you know what? If you're saved, the Holy Ghost is better at seeking. You can't hide from Him. If you're saved, you can't hide from Him. You can't hide behind nothing. He'll seek you out. He'll seek you out. If He'll seek you out when you're lost, He's surely going to seek you out when you're saved. Look what He says here. Verse number 9, if we confess our sin, look what he says. He said, not only did he confront them, not only call out the problem, he said, I got an answer. I'm going to challenge you to this. And here's what he says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If our talk, it better match our walk. He challenges all of us to confess. This morning, confession, it opens the spout where the glory runs out. Here's what he said. If we confess, he don't tell us to be faithful. He said, just confess. Just confess. Just confess. My daughter and her friend, boyfriend, I told him, I said, you can't help who your daddy is. You didn't pick him. You didn't pick him. You can't help David, your daddy. You didn't pick him. We was talking. I didn't know nothing happened. Nothing went on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever just felt like you're just getting in trouble and you start confessing? And you're like, well, I didn't know nothing about that. I didn't know nothing about that. By the night, they text, say, and I know I get on in their business, but this is so good how God lines us up. Ain't it just good how God lines it up with your children? Daddy, we're going to run to Hamilton, to McDonald's, Huddle House, somewhere. It's 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I'm in the bed, I'm done asleep. There's no need of staying up. What good is staying up? Done been all day, it's time to go to bed. I said, okay. Well, last night, we was talking about their trip going to Hamilton. And Kyler went to tell something. She said, "What? Dad, wait. And I said, I'm thinking, what is it? I'm just listening. They're in the back seat. She said, we went through a roadblock. Okay, what's the big deal going through a roadblock? And she said, Brother Riley Cagle. See, she knew Brother Riley Cagle. It wouldn't be long. Can I get a witness? Why must my walk match my talk? Because there's somebody that knows you. There's somebody that knows you sitting in here. Nobody knows what I've done. Oh, I may not never know it. It don't matter if I did know it. Wouldn't do a bit of good. But there's somebody to tell on you. Every time. Have you ever just tried to get away with it? And you say, I'm going to cover this one. Nobody will know about this one. And then that old nitpicker, the Holy Ghost. He's like, confess it. And he just starts uncovering it. A little by little by little. He said, if you'll confess it, I'll forgive it. Any sin that's not been confessed has not been forgiven. You remember that? He said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What will it do if I don't confess, preacher? It's going to hinder your fellowship with God. It's going to hinder that fellowship with God. Let me show you this right here, and we're going to close. Have a song. Ladies, y'all come on. Let's do a song of invitation. He says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It opens that spout. He's faithful. He's just. He is forgiving. He is the cleanser, and he is righteous. What is it going to do? It's going to get us out of that unrighteous and get us into that righteous. This morning, does our talk and our walk line up with the Word of God? Can we say that we are born again followers of Jesus Christ? Now watch me. Watch my walk. The Holy Ghost will confront us. It'll call us out. And it'll challenge us to confess our faults so our walk will match our talk. Does your match this morning? Does your walk and your talk match this morning? I'm going to share this with you. You say, preacher, I won't never get caught. Yes, you will. One day, Brandy called me five times. I was on the phone with David Barnes. It was on a Tuesday. And every time she called, I'd forward it. He was telling me something that I thought was important. And I'd forward it. And I'd forward it, and I'd forward it, and I'd forward it, and forward it. And finally, I got off, and she called back and said, where did I? I was in a dead spot. Is everybody understanding this? I was in a dead spot. If I tell her I forwarded it, you lied, preacher. We lie. That's our nature. You get in a crack, what do I do? What do? That's our nature. That's our nature. She's not going to find out anyway. I didn't call David back and warn him. Wednesday night at church, you know what David does? He comes up to my wife and he said, was something important? Preacher forwarded you five times. I just ducked down and get away, you know? I'm thinking, surely she won't address this at church. Y'all sitting there acting like I'm crazy. Come on, talk to me somebody this morning. I got it here. They won't never know. Oh, they'll know. Because there's somebody, if you're born again, won't let you get away with it. She said, you listen to me. I knew what that meant. Y'all know what that means? You listen to me. This is after we left church. Go home. I said, yes. She said, when I call that phone, I'm just in attention, son. When I call that phone, I'm just sitting there, I'm thinking, What are you? And she says it like four times. When I call that phone, I'm like, what do you want me to do when you call that phone? She said, when I call that phone, I don't care who you're on the other line with. Do you hear me? I'm like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm married to her. She's not my mama. But I know I'm in trouble. I said, uh-huh. She said, I don't care who you're on that phone with. You better not never forward me again. This morning, I'm telling that story to say this. You may be on the phone this morning with God. You may be on the phone this morning with Satan. He's talking in your ear. He's wearing you out. And you're forwarding the Holy Spirit right now. You're forwarding him. You're forwarding him. You're forwarding him. You ready to get out of here? You ready to go eat? You ready to go do something else? You done got your evening planned out? You done got everything you're going to do planned out. And you keep forwarding the Holy Ghost. He said, go that way. Get away. Get away. Get away. He said, what is it going to do, preacher? It will tell on you. When you keep forwarding what God is trying to get you to confess. If our walk don't match our talk, it will come out. One way or another. This morning, if it don't match up, what I need to do, preacher, I get an altar. If we confess, that promise is conditional. It's not unconditional. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That's unconditional. Nothing you got to do. For God so loved the world, that's unconditional. But there's a conditional promise here. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. If you don't confess it, he won't forgive it. That's a conditional. You can walk in as long as you want to. And I promise you this morning as your pastor, you'll be more miserable than you've ever been. You'll be more miserable than you have ever been in your whole entire life. Sin separates the fellowship that we have with God Almighty. Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this group of people. Lord God, I pray that my walk will always match my talk. And my talk will always match my walk. I thank you for the book of John. I thank you that I don't have the authority to say that, but as I read the book, Father, I see that John, he was the one that lost his life for you. And if a man's lost his life for you, he died on the island of Patmos, Father. He died out there an old man because he believed in you. And that gives him the authority to say, if we're going to say one thing, we better do it. Father, that man knew what it was to lay his life down. But oh, what John did is nothing compared to what Jesus did. Oh, nothing. And the only reason John can pin it down is because the Holy Ghost told him to. Lord, this morning, whoever's forwarding the Holy Ghost, they're trying to get it away from them. They're trying to live that way, even though they know they're saved. And they're trying to live lost. I pray this morning you drag them to an old-timey altar, and they do business with an old-timey God. Father, this morning, I understand you confront. Father, I understand you call it out, and you challenge us to confess our sin. I love you, and I thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, sweet, precious name I ask and do pray. All of God's people said.